Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Today, I want to talk about something different than normal. It is the holiday season. A lot of people celebrate Christmas. A lot of people don't. They celebrate other holidays around this time. But whatever the holidays are, it's usually to bring people together. It's usually a time for joy and peace and just plain ordinary normality. However, I need to say something because today's topic is going to be about dysfunction and divisions that are existing around the world. And we have seen it recently this past week. I'm going to say dysfunction is when there's a handful of people in the world that have issues with others because of their race, their religion, their social status. There's many, many cultures in the world, but we were all created by one creator, the Most High. Now, we always say that America is a blessed country, and yet America is a country that's full of people that are trying so hard to harm others, whether it be physical, psychological, or spiritual. There are dysfunction in this world today. This is a clear example. I get these phone calls, and I'm sure a lot of you do too, get these phone calls from people that have absolutely nothing else to do with their time. It's constant. It's sick. It's dysfunctional. We have people that are insecure. And that insecurity, and it brings them to people that they feel they need to have in their lives. No matter how wrong the person is, if they fit into their culture, if they fit into their religion or their race, their social status or whatever it may be, they're so desperate to be accepted, to be able to fit in. And until people can start realizing that they don't need another person in their lives, as long as they have their higher power, as long as they have their independence, their sanity, because normal people are not insecure. We live in a country, government feels they have to interfere with the things going on in other countries, while their own countries fall apart. The United States of America right now is in dire emergency. There is so much going on. I watched the news and I listened to these kids, the schools. Recently, 300 and something kids decided not to go to school because there's all this fighting and bullying and everything else, and the schools are not addressing it. The schools are not addressing it. We have those Sandy Hook and all those other places that schools that were mass shootings where so many people died. And what did they do? They hired one of the police officers that were there during the shooting that did nothing. They hired her. And when everybody started complaining, the families of these children that were killed, when they started complaining and others got involved, then they let that woman go. They let that police officer go. We hear our president talking about the American people. The American people are on your side. The American people, they're calling this person a hero. Money has been going to this country for years, for the past almost a year now, or more than a year. All this money going out. When people are right now living in the streets of the United States, crying out for help, shelter, food, clothing. Why this particular country? I don't understand. Why this particular country has gotten the undivided attention of the president of the United States of America? And what happened to the other countries that are involved, that are included in NATO? They all stopped. They all stopped when they saw the United States putting all this money into it. They're not going to let their countries fall apart. They're not going to let their constituents, their citizens, fall apart to go fighting in some other country. Granted, they need help. Granted, the United States has provided more than enough help. I'm waiting to see what the other countries are going to do. It's funny because I was told, I mentioned one time traveling 11 third world countries, and I was told those countries are no longer third world. Those countries have developed. They're coming up in the world. Innovation. While we are going down. This is dysfunction, and this is occurring right in the United States. Now, division, we see the division amongst the political parties. We see the division between the Democrats and the Republicans. And we see the ratings going down with one party and going up with another. Sometimes we're forced to vote for people we don't even want to vote for because we see the people that we vote for or voted for forgetting about the people that voted for them. It's Christmas. It's Hanukkah. It's everything. It's time for people to wake up. We're going into the year 2023. And I hate to say it, but 2023 is going to show many people, as it did in the days of Noah, it's going to show many, many people that they don't need man, that they need the Most High, because the Most High is going to be acting in the year 2023. When it talks about the final days, we're in the final seconds of the final days. And as it always says, it's going to be worse than it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. We see it happening right now. It's preparing. So rather than to be looking for people who you relate to and they relate to you in political arenas and society in all other areas, you better start focusing on the Creator, the Most High, the real being that created us, the real being that is our true master, our redeemer, our most high and most holy one. People complain all the time, and a lot of them are cowards because they don't complain to the people that they're complaining about. They complain to their peers about the people that they have a problem with. So the people they have a problem with have no idea that there are issues because no one's coming to them to tell them. But yet they're going behind backs and gossiping. You know, I felt honored to travel these 11 once third world countries. I felt honored because they're real. They're for real. They're not phonies. And they may not be rich in monetary, but they're rich in the heart. They're rich in so many other ways. They have the faith. They have the trust to know that whatever they are going through is still existing, and somehow they're making it. We have a lot of people in this country who are exploiting children in other countries to gain money. When I was in Africa and I was doing some missionary work, I was having things sent over there. Maybe not much, but whatever I could. But I'll tell you one thing. They used to tell me this all the time. If anybody wants to send them anything, take it to them. Give it to them personally. Because if it's not their government that's taken from them, it's people in this country, it's people in America who are putting it out there that they are helping these children. Send money to these places to feed the children. It was like when the earthquake hit Haiti and then when it hit Puerto Rico. And all these monies were supposed to be sent to all these celebrities and these politicians and all these people that wanted to help. And years later, Haiti is still the same. Puerto Rico is still the same. But all this money, people thought they were helping others, did not all go to where they were hoping it would go to. Division does exist. We have people who have a problem with someone that's incarcerated or a former offender, somebody that once was incarcerated, and people all of a sudden are judging. I had a volunteer one time in my organization who was assigned a couple of cases asking, what do these people do? What was the offense that they did? And I said, it's easy. You just go on the internet and type in the name. Sentenced to prison or whatever. You'll find out. But I also sent her links to go to find out about the people that she trusts, the overseers in the communities and the prisons throughout the country, to see what they have done. Because there are as many criminals in uniform with titles as there are people behind the wall, behind the prison bars. There's as much. But this is where division comes in. Because we have a society that only sees those out of uniform, that only sees those incarcerated. It doesn't go to their minds to think that we're living in a country where there's an epidemic of mental illnesses and substance abuses. They only see people behind prison walls. That's division. That's division between criminals. Those that are the criminals that are overseeing the fallen, the stumbled, the mentally ill, those who are addicted. And look it, we heard a year or two ago that marijuana is now legal. If marijuana is now legal, why is it legal? It's legal because the people, the lawmakers, the people that have the power to make it legal are either using it themselves or they have loved ones that are using it. Make it legal before they get caught. That's what they think. But what about these people that have been incarcerated for years for marijuana? They're still sitting behind those walls. There's a prisoner in Missouri, wrongfully convicted, Reginald Clemens. You go on the internet. A judge found him innocent. He went in when he was a youth, around 20 years of age. He's now in his 40s. Found innocent, but still behind those prison walls. You have people in Missouri, women. Two women that I know of, wrongfully convicted, both Christians, that have been in prison for years. An advocate, Madeline Colburn, she's also a chaplain. She's been advocating for years. She's been advocating for these two women and this young man for years. Dysfunction is when people complain a lot. They see all this injustice and they do nothing because they can't. They're weak. They're dependent upon their peers. They don't know how to lead. They only know how to follow. They talk behind people. They talk behind the advocate's back if one of their peers has a problem. I don't know how many times throughout my time as an advocate, I've always gotten along with everybody. But I came across people throughout the years who praised me like I was some kind of a warrior or something. But people in their clique did not agree. And so all of a sudden, these people that had so much praises, that respect, was so respectful, they kind of backed off. And those that didn't back off, they would email me separately to tell me they agree with me. I don't need to hear that you agree with me. I don't need to hear that anyone agrees with me. I'm not asking anybody to agree with me. I'm telling people what I myself feel. I am not a follower, never will be. As I said, I have one master, and that's the Most High. And I feel free because of it. We're living in a society in this country that's so dysfunctional because people cannot act on their own. They cannot lead on their own. They cannot judge on their own. They cannot decide on their own. We have people advocating for the incarcerated. Many have started organizations and groups because they have loved ones inside, or they have people that they know inside, friends. So they've invested in trying to help these people and help others while doing so. And then we have others who are using prisoners to write their books, to write their stories, to do all these things. If they're not capable of writing their own books and helping prisoners to write their own books, then they don't need to be advocating for the incarcerated. I've written books. I've had poetry. Book writing is in my family. Poetry is in my family. It's always been. I've helped a few prisoners to write their own books. Even gave them the addresses for the publishing companies to contact. But we have people out there joining coalitions and doing all these things to put their names out there to their books that they've written or the work that they're doing via the emails with not a lot of prisoners, but one or two that they have chosen for themselves that they have known, that they are trying to make heroes for or of. Now we usually, on Wednesdays, we usually interview Marion Jacobs from the Netherlands. She's a psychosocial therapist. She has been on to talk about the comparison between the prisons where she comes from in the Netherlands compared to the mass incarceration in the United States. She's written books. She's written a book, soon to be published. But she's not writing because of someone else's story. She's writing because she's actually been in the prison. She does volunteer work in a prison in the Netherlands. She's done a lot of extensive research. She interacts via the mail or email with prisoners. That's an advocate. That's a leader. It's those type of people that I admire. Not these ones, that these little ones that try to act professional and they can't. As I mentioned the other day, we have a prisoner legal services right here in Massachusetts. They have a problem with me. So what do? A politician contacted them, reached out to them to assist with someone that I had referred, that I had reached out to for. And the politician said that prisoner legal services was going to help. They were doing the intake. So I sent a professional letter addressing the director in a very polite way, and I sent a copy of the prisoner's application with our organization and a release of information from the prisoner. And the advocate I assigned for this prisoner has contacted prisoner legal services two or three times and has gotten no response. The prisoner got one letter a couple of months ago. No response when he wrote to them. But yet our legislative members, they think, just like many others, they assume that this organization is doing something. Prisoners from Old Colony Correctional Center in Massachusetts wrote a long letter to the politicians, to the advocates, even to the prisoner legal services themselves, letting everyone know that every time they call, and it happens with our organizations as well, every time they call, they're told they don't have the funds or they don't have the manpower. Getting back to coalitions, where we feel we need to be involved in these coalitions because we know of incarcerated individuals that we're advocating for. We're directly connected with them. We should be in these coalitions as a sentencing project. Donated money to this coalition to start this coalition to abolish life and life without parole or life without parole. Several of those lawyers from this particular legal services were in the coalition. Now, usually there's one or two people from an organization representing that organization. But when you have five, six, seven lawyers in a coalition, and you're hearing from your clients and you're hearing from other prisoners that they've been trying to contact this legal services only to be getting no one at all answering the phone or getting the receptionist. This is an ongoing issue. Again, this is where division exists because organizations should be working together. But when you get an organization that's so unprofessional that they cannot respond to another organization because they have a problem with the person, they don't need to be having an organization. They don't need to be having some kind of legal services, which at one time was called the Massachusetts Correctional Legal Services. Perhaps that might tell us something. But this is what's going on in this country today. Instead of coming together in unity to work on issues that we want to see resolved, it takes a handful of people to poison every single effort that is made to achieve in our goals. A handful of people. I know in school, junior high school and high school, cliques exist. That's what's happening in the schools today because of these cliques. These kids are bullying others. Violence is occurring. Kids are afraid to go to school. Parents are outraged because the schools are not doing enough. Mass shootings because some kids are getting away with certain things with the judges and other kids are suffering. They're going to prison. Inequality in the United States. It's who you know or how much you have. The social status. Here it is Christmas time. There are people out in the streets, and yet trillions and trillions and billions of dollars are going out of the country instead of trying to do something with the money in the country. People don't have to be living in the streets. People don't have to be starving. People don't have to be afraid to send their children to school. Children should not be afraid to go to school. Organizations should not have to beg other organizations to help. Politicians don't need to go with the ones they feel are going to benefit them. I do national, even though I have an organization now solely focusing on Massachusetts. When I first started my organization in 2004, we were doing national. We were advocating for the incarcerated men, women, and youth. We were helping those that were serving life without parole, the death penalty, those who were soon to be released. We were making referrals to professional organizations who were assisting. Some of these organizations here, unfortunately, are sad. They're like young kids. Young kids, that's what it is, trying to be big or big shots or professional or cliquish. We used to help those that were coming out of prison. We would refer them. We'd get them transitional assistance, transitional housing, help them with their resumes, write letters on their behalf to get some free clothing from the retail stores or the thrift shops so they can look presentable when they go job hunting. Some of the courts we were working with, for those who were getting sentenced to community services for DUIs and things like that, they would come and do some volunteer work. We were doing virtual, making phone calls, writing letters, sending emails. We were doing a lot of things for these incarcerated individuals coming out for help because they weren't getting it from those organizations that were getting all this funding. I've told a lot of organizations, including Prison Legal Services, who always claims they don't have enough help. My organization is a 501c4, which is social welfare. Theirs is a 501c3, which is limited, but yet somehow they're doing more in politics, which 501c3s are not supposed to be doing. But again, one of the things that I would tell them, educate them on, is the fact that there are so many universities around the country that have students going to college to get their law degree, to get their degree in criminal justice, to get their psychology degree, social work certificate, paralegal certificate. These kids, these smart, intelligent students going to universities to get an education in the very areas that these legal services, these law firms are looking at, are seeking to do their internships in legal and law programs, law firms. They're not asking for money, they're asking for experience and they're asking to do their internships. Why is it so important? The only money that needs to be put out by these law firms and these legal services is to buy insurance. That's it. Cover them. So what is the funds needed for? And another thing I want to bring up is the fact that we always talk about oversight. The Department of Corrections around the country, there's no oversight, no independent oversight. It's always internal. And we know where internal oversight goes. But we need to look at a lot of these law firms, too, who claim they don't have enough funding when they're getting all kinds of funding. There was an advocate from Boston that told me one time when I was seeing, talking about the funding that Prison Legal Services didn't have. And she sent me a link, and I need to contact her to have her send it to me again. She sent me a link that showed the funding that they do get. And it was a lot. Now, there's a Prison Legal Services as well. I believe it's connected in New York. And I have a friend in New York who is an advocate as well, who has a friend who worked for Prison Legal Services in New York. And her friend was telling her how they just had boxes and boxes of unopened letters from prisoners held in the storage closet. If there was oversight in a lot of these organizations, I'm sure that there would be more being done. And I'm sure that there would be more that would be exposed. Dysfunction and division does exist. We have people in this country, and even in Massachusetts and other states, who know just how to manipulate others. As they told me one time, someone told me years ago when I spoke about someone who was actually very racist, the person said, it's worse where you come from, because here we know where we stand, where you are. They smile in your face, they pat you on the back, they call you a friend, but they stab you in the back. And that's the truth. This is how they divide people amongst their own cultures, amongst their own races. And unfortunately, we see these cultures that even though people might feel that they know it all, they're very ignorant when it comes to things like this. Vulnerability opens people up, opens innocent people up to be manipulated, to be deceived and lied to be used in so many different ways. And so these are some of the things that I wanted to bring out. I want everyone to be aware of why we have so much dysfunction and division in this country. And I want people to be aware that we need to do something about these statements that are made all the time about our political leaders doing things for the American people. We all pay to have our telephone services and our television services, our internet. We have our providers that we pay to. Not to watch garbage on every single station when you're trying to get some relaxing news or stories to watch or shows to watch. And every channel you turn it on, we're hearing about a hero. The only hero in my life is my higher power, is my creator. That's it. I'm getting the message out. And some people, they might say, well, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to turn everybody against you. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. I don't care if the world is against me. They were against the Christ Jesus. And who was behind that? Who was behind turning him over to the Roman emperor? Who was behind it? And now they say the Jewish Jesus. Now they look into the New Testament rather than just the Old Testament. Once they've destroyed the Christ Jesus, then all of a sudden, he becomes the main topic of the very people that try to destroy him, or that did destroy him. So that's why I say we can be destroyed, but we have a higher power that eventually is going to do something about that too. Once again, it's Christmas. People are out there shopping and buying each other gifts and everything else, forgetting what the true holiday is all about. It's about a man that was despised by people in the world. And all he was trying to do was good. He was despised to the point where his own culture destroyed him. Because they wanted to be the big shots. They wanted to be the higher ups. And here a man humbly coming into this world in a robe and sandals, not seeking money, not seeking power, not seeking fame, not seeking any kind of prestige, coming into this world to save the lost, the forgotten, the captives, the poor, the lame, the deaf, the blind, the possessed. This single man came into this world like that, and everybody hated him. And it's happening even now to this day, these cliques, almost like mobs, hating this one or hating that one because they want to look big and bad. And the people, the person or the people that they're hating so much are showing their true colors. The people that they hate so much are really trying to help others. Well, the phonies are having a problem with that. So, yes, they hated Jesus to the point where he was put on that cross. He suffered. And you have seen so many people behind those prison walls suffering. Many wrongfully convicted. They haven't done anything. Many of them who were victims before becoming offenders. And now are victimized all over again behind those prison walls. Many of them first-time offenders who made one mistake Have you ever made a mistake and had an opportunity to move forward without making another mistake? There's people in those prisons, behind those prison walls, that made one mistake. Whether it be because of some psychological issue at the time, whether it be because of some heavily substance abuse issues, whether it was in self-defense, whatever the case may be. A lot of these people are hated by people in society that do not even know them. And someone in that prison, throughout the world, someone in one of those prisons could be the Christ himself coming back again. Could be someone that God has sent as a prophet, as a servant, as an angel, as a disciple. We don't know. There was a rich man and a poor man. I'm sure many of you have heard of Lazarus and the rich man. Rich man had everything. Lazarus only had sores and boils on his body outside the gates of the rich man's home. But yet when they died, the rich man went down and Lazarus went up. And the rich man's crying up to heaven, you know, send Lazarus to bring me some water. It was too late. Well, at least let me go back and tell my family. He was told, if your family didn't believe it when we try to tell, when your family didn't believe Jonah, they're not going to believe it now. But see, this is the thing we have to realize. Again, no matter what religion, it's all about the higher power. It's all about the highest power. Man has no power whatsoever except by mouth, except by lies, deception, corruption, and all these things. That's the only power man has. Man can destroy the body. Man can destroy the person or the people. But man cannot destroy the spirit. And that spirit is something that God, it belongs to God. There's only two kinds of spirits. The spirit that belongs to the evil one, to Satan himself, and the spirit belongs to the Most High, creator of all things. We're living amongst spirits in this world. And in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, it says that. It says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against powers and principalities, darkness, rulers of darkness in high places in this world. That's what we're wrestling against. That's what we're up against. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, it says the angel, Satan, who deceived, who lied, was thrown out of heaven onto the earth, and his followers were thrown down with them. But see, right now, Satan is, he's having a fit because his time is running out. The year 2023, everyone, is going to be a year that we're going to see some major changes. You're going to see how much you need the Most High. Because we can do nothing without having our Creator. We can do nothing by man. So for you insecure individuals out there who can't think for yourself and will turn against someone you don't even know to side with your peers that you feel are going to what? What are they going to do for you? You came into this world without them. You're going to go out without them. How many people do we have incarcerated that committed crimes when they were with their peers? Because they thought that their peers were going to, how do they say it, get their back? How many have said, I got your back? But what happened after they went to prison? And many of them went to prison for their peers. And once they got in, their peers were nowhere to be found. Unfortunately, some come out and they go looking for their peers, even though their peers weren't there for them when they were inside. But that's all part of dysfunction. You know, there were some very people that don't have any use for me. There was, I think, three of them anyway. On Facebook, I wish them a happy birthday. You know, I didn't have to, but that's the way I was brought up. If you know somebody and you don't have an issue with them, I'll treat them right. But unfortunately, these people either were not brought up the same way, or the issue they have is to please their peers who they know are wrong, but they are independent. I mean, they are dependent on their peers. So naturally, they're going to stay on the side of the peers. And those peers are going to bring them down, whether it be while they're on this earth today or whether it be in the new system of things, because there is something beyond this system. It definitely is. There's only two masters, one of two masters that we can serve. And I want to serve the one, the Most High, the one that has compassion, mercy, understanding, the undeserved kindness, the love, humility, humble, caring, forgiving. I don't want to serve the one that's always trying to find fault with someone they don't know, or trying to find fault with someone they feel is going to take away some of their fame or their glory, their power, their money. I just wanted to bring this out because this is very, very important, especially now in these final days. I'm going to say this one last time. In the days of Noah, when he tried to warn the people while he was building an ark for the flood, everybody was laughing at Noah. Because in those days, in the very beginning, in those days, rain did not fall from the sky. The mist came from the ground. So here you have this man building this huge ark and telling people there's going to be a flood. And they laughed at him until the doors of that ark were closed and the rain started falling. And all but Noah, his three sons, and his wife survived. After the flood, God told Noah that he would never destroy the earth again by flood. He told Noah that every time we see a rainbow, that rainbow is a reminder to us that the world would never be destroyed by flood. But he did tell Noah the next time the world is destroyed, it would be by fire. We have seen so many fires on the West Coast, California, one after another. We now see what's happening with the global warming, because this global warming has caused so much damage with the flooding, with the earthquakes, with the tornadoes, and the freeze, the Antarctic freeze. And we are heading for, actually, this week, across the country, temperatures that have never been before. Global warming is going to destroy it. And then we're looking at nuclear weapons. North Korea's been testing and pretty close to succeeding in what they've been doing. Iran, China, Russia, coming together. Ukraine, Israel, and some of the surrounding states coming together. What does it say in the Bible? All nations coming together. The abomination, right where it is. The United States, getting right in the middle of it as always. Nuclear weapons now have become a thing, not a thing of the past, but a thing of the present and the future. Talks of all these countries getting together. And as the president has said, he said the United States is going to be sticking with Ukraine. They are one. And I was hearing from so many people that this was not a war between Ukraine and Russia, but this was a war between the United States and Russia. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. When their leader in Ukraine, you come here and be called a hero. Let's try calling our Most High, our highest creator, the hero, the Most High, that created us, that has gotten us through all these trials and tribulations and continues to be there for us and our children. There has been much sorrow, much pain, a lot of hurt. But the only thing that's kept us going, many of us, has been to cry out to our Father, our Creator. And some may say, Abba, Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever name you want to give them, it's all the same because it's the same God. And we need to stop calling out to him. And we need to stop interfering in other businesses that do not relate. Every country, every continent has its own issues. I've never seen the continent of Africa, the continent of Central America, the continent of South America, all these countries, continents. I've never seen such devotion, loyalty. Many have died, and many of those countries have been raped of their country, of their gold and diamonds and mirrors. And it's sad. It's sad. We have a problem. We have a real serious problem in America and other countries, of course. But we have a serious problem in America because this was the United States. This was a country, a continent that consisted of people all over the world, representatives all over the world in this country. And still, we're finding fault with their countries. And I want to bring up one other thing. We have North America, South America, and Central America. We have so many people complaining about the immigrants trying to come into this country from Central America. They are part of the Americas. We are the Americas, North, Central, and South America. There should be no reason why people should be talking about keeping them out, yet bringing people in from other countries abroad, defending other countries abroad, when perhaps if they put some of their own efforts and money into these people that are coming over from the border, maybe the tragedies will not happen. My heart still goes out to those children that were divided when the former president separated children and babies from their parents. Many of those parents, I bet, are not even alive anymore. And then when it was time to reunite some of them, they couldn't tell which babies, which children went with which parent. Dysfunction. Dysfunctional leadership and division still exists. Children, babies. We're talking about another country that's fighting, two countries that are fighting far, far away. Thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away. When we have right next door, we have children and babies, families that have been divided, families that have been destroyed, families that are suffering financially, psychologically, spiritually. Get it together, people. Get it together. Because we don't have much time. I'm going to tell you right now, 2023 is going to wake up a lot of eyes. And I am going to end this episode with one warning. You only have one chance with our Creator, as many have given these incarcerated individuals one chance, never to be able to have a second opportunity at freedom, never to be able to have a second opportunity to show people that they have a caring heart, that they do care about people. The leadership in this country has failed the youth, causing gangs to form. It failed the innocent. It failed the first-time offenders. It failed the victims who ultimately became offenders. And for you people out there that are so quick to protest because of abortion, if you're so willing to protest against abortions, then perhaps you need to wake up and be there for these women that have their children, that end up raising their children alone. When those children fall, when they stumble, help pick them up. Don't judge them. Don't put them in prison. Don't call for their lives to be destroyed. Don't ignore them. Don't talk out of your two sides of your mouth. Know what you're talking about. Don't be dysfunctional and don't cause division. And I am now going to close with that statement. Thank you all for listening. And I hope all of you have a very happy holiday. And maybe in the year 2023, perhaps you'll have some wisdom and discernment. Thank you.